Joining us now, Sam Sorbo, actress, homeschooling mom, radio host, wife of actor Kevin Sorbo, and author of a new book out recently, Teach From Love, a school year devotional for families. We're just a couple weeks into that school year. Sam, welcome to Mornings on the Mall. Tell us about the book and how families can use it.
Oh, thank you. Families can use it. It's a homeschool devotional. It's a family devotional. And it basically goes through 72 godly characteristics that families would want for their children, and actually parents would want for themselves. It's a little bit of a brush up for parents too, just to acknowledge that there are certain characteristics that we really should be striving for in our society: honesty, trustworthiness, patience, and those kinds of things are things that aren't taught in school. And I think that it's a good thing for the family to sit down and have discussions about serious issues, like, you know, what happened in school today, and look at it from a perspective of virtue.
And these are things, you know, you say that aren't taught in schools today, but I think those are things that were taught in schools just a generation ago. We learn these things not necessarily from a scripture base, but they were taught in school. Why are they no longer taught in school?
Well, I think the schools just don't have time. I mean, it's not that the teachers can't teach this stuff. They can, and sometimes they will. It really came about, I was teaching seventh grade to my homeschool co-op one day a week. And so that day, to start off the day, I would put a godly characteristic up on the board just to discuss with the kids, and we would have a five-minute discussion about what it looked like when it was missing, and that kind of thing, the definition, the antonyms, and all of that. And then I noticed that throughout the rest of the day, the kids would bring that subject back into our conversation, whether we were talking about science or math. They would always try to work it back in again. And I thought, this is a great way to get kids to at least pay attention to these characteristics. And so I thought, oh, I'll write a book. And initially the book was geared towards homeschoolers. But then I thought, well, who really needs this? Everyone. So my goal is to get it into schools. Now, maybe half the book is biblically based, or I suppose the whole thing's biblically based, because our virtue comes from the Ten Commandments, basically. But about half the book is just stories that come from current day. And then half the book are stories. And every page is a single day, so it's a very short little devotional. You read the little story, or the commentary on the story, and then there's the devotion, and then there are two questions that we ask that are supposed to engender a discussion. And so my hope is that this will bring families closer together, or bring classrooms closer together.
You know, so many families, I feel like there are so many things that are distracting each and every member of the family, especially in 2017. You've got phones at the dinner table. You've got even the parents find themselves distracted. It feels like this is exactly the prescription for a family that needs to unwind from all of that and actually be able to connect with one another.
Well, thank you. I think it's good to have something purposeful to distract you from the distractions, right? I mean, you don't solve a habit just by saying, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. The key to solving a habit is to pick up a different habit, to replace the habit with another habit. So this is a habit that's a good habit that engages the family around the dinner table or around the breakfast table, or just at bedtime. You know, it's a nice habit to have. It doesn't take a whole lot of time. And it gets the conversation going, because, as you point out, we're very distracted in our culture, in our society today, and we really need to bring families closer together, not draw them farther apart.
Playing off of what Vince just had to say here about, you know, social media and our kids being so connected on these devices, does this teach kids how to interact with people, with other children, using these principles?
So that's a fascinating question. I hadn't thought about it that way. But, you know, being a virtuous person certainly helps you interact with other people. And I would hope that we would want virtue and godly characteristics for our kids. So I suppose, yes. I mean, I'm a homeschooler, so I will tell you that, of course, one of the first questions that I always get asked is, well, what about socialization for your kids? And I will tell you, my kids are more social, typically, than the typical school child, public school child anyway, because when you take a child and put him in a classroom of 30 other children his age, where is he going to learn manners? Where is he going to learn how to interact with adults when he spends the majority of his day with children? But my kids, because they're with me all day, they go to the bank with me. They talk to the bank teller. They go to the grocery store. They talk to the grocery clerk. I send them on errands in the store to talk to the adults to find out where the thing is or whatever. And so my kids, it's an odd thing, but, you know, every plane, we travel a lot also. Every single plane ride I take with my children, the steward or stewardess, the flight attendant, says to me, one flight attendant will say to me, inevitably, how well-behaved and how polite my children are. Like, that's something that's just shocking. And it shouldn't be shocking.
It's amazing that, yeah, that's the exception, not the rule. I wonder, what was your habit like before you wrote this book? Are you using the own book in your own book to do these daily devotionals? And did you have sort of a devotional habit before you wrote the book?
I did not have a devotional habit before the book with my kids. I mean, we talked, well, that is to say, we did Bible study, but that's not the same thing as a devotional. And so, even though I did devotionals, I didn't do them with my kids. Guided in that, I guess, anyway, that wasn't something that I just, when I started doing this in the classroom, I thought, this is really useful. How can I make this a tool for parents? And so that was the genesis of the devotional. And now, of course, I do the devotional with my kids, and we have a lot of fun. It's not easy when you sit down with kids and ask them a question. Typically, the answer is, I don't know, or yeah, or no, you know?
Right.
So these are questions that are absolutely not yes or no questions, and they're questions that are designed to engage the child in some kind of discussion.
All right, well, let me hold you over, Sam, because we're going to talk to you in just a moment here. We're talking to Sam Sorbo, whose new book is out now, Teach from Love, A School Year Devotional for Families. And we're also going to talk about a new movie in her life and her husband's life, Kevin, all ahead here on Mornings on the Mall. Okay, we're talking to Sam Sorbo here on Mornings on the Mall, an actress, homeschooling mom, and the radio host wife of actor Kevin Sorbo and the author of the book Teach from Love, A School Year Devotional for Families. We've been talking about the devotional, Sam, but I want to ask you now about this movie, Let There Be Light, coming out October 27th. You're in the film, and your Herculean husband, Kevin Sorbo, is the director. Tell us about it.
So I had the idea for this film a couple years ago, and I approached a friend who's a Hollywood screenwriter to write it with me. Dan Gordon wrote The Hurricane with Denzel Washington and Wyatt Earp with Kevin Costner. And initially he said no, but when he heard the idea, he jumped right on board, which I just thought, that's a huge blessing. About 2 weeks later, Sean Hannity called my husband out of the blue and said, hey, I want to do a faith-based film with you. Do you have anything? So the three of us flew out to New York to pitch Sean, and in about half an hour, he wrote a check. And having been in Hollywood for many years and watched many people not get films produced, I will tell you the genesis of this film is a miracle in itself. The film tells the story of a hardened atheist who enjoys mocking Christians, who has a near-death experience and sees something that doesn't gel with his worldview. And he spirals out of control and gets very depressed and doesn't know what to do with it. Because in his vision, he had a message. And so the movie is about trying to figure out what that message is and what it means and what he's supposed to do with it, because it challenged everything that he really held dear. It's a movie about grief. It's a movie about overcoming. It's a movie about faith. It's a love story. It's a story of fatherhood, and it's really the movie that I wanted to make, and I'm just so proud of it.
The great thing about movies like this is that they tend to do well at the box office, and we're starting to see Hollywood start to take another look at movies like this, movies that are successes, movies that are patriotic, movies that do deal with religion, because that is, I think, a mainstay for a lot of Americans, and they want to see an uplifting movie like this. What is, where are you in production with this movie?
Comes out on October 27th, so we're about 2 weeks away today. You can go to lettherebelightmovie.com to get more information. We have all the theaters listed. It's opening nationwide. And if you want to organize a group, there are group ticket discounts as well, because we're working through the churches. This is a movie to grow the church. I want people to understand that there is a darkness in the world. We see it in the black flags of ISIS. We see it across in the black headscarves of people. We see a darkness, and we don't really know what to do with it. And I will tell you that there is one cure for the darkness, and that is the light.
It's such a great point. I wonder, as you know, where this script came from. What inspired you here? Because I think about, like, you know, friends and family and people who have, you know, people who are atheists in their own lives, and they constantly, you know, they want to convince them, like, hey, the path of religiosity actually is totally worth it, and actually makes reasoned sense. What inspired the movie here?
You know what? It's all of a piece. What I see in our schools today is our children are being taught that they, and I'm talking about public schools predominantly, but our children are being taught that they're accidents of nature. I think that's child abuse. I think it's a horrible thing to tell a child that they're just an accident that happened along and that their life has no purpose, because that's the conclusion that they would have to draw from that. And then furthermore, I think it's awful to teach them that survival of the fittest is the law of the land, because if you subscribe to survival of the fittest, then you can't possibly have a problem with what ISIS is doing, or what Harvey Weinstein did, for that matter. It's survival of the fittest. He was a bully. Everybody knew he was a bully. Nobody said anything, except Brad Pitt told him to stay away from Gwyneth Paltrow. Well, good for him. He left all the other young women out there to suffer at Harvey Weinstein's aggression. And yet, no one said anything, because they actually, they embraced survival of the fittest. And I think that if good Americans, if Americans of virtue, want to see entertainment that upholds their values and that is uplifting and hopeful, they might not need to turn to Hollywood, but they do need to support independent filmmakers and independent producers like Sean Hannity, who put his money where his mouth was and says, you know what, I want to engage the culture and I want to provide people entertainment that I want to see. And so I'm hoping that, you know, with what's happened in this country recently with the election and the electorate and the middle America and the forgotten man and woman understanding that they have a voice, and then Trump taking on the NFL and saying, you better stand for the anthem. That's what you ought to be doing. And the NFL being cowed by the American purse, the good men and women of America who are saying, you know what? Sunday's no longer my football day. My football day is now going to be Saturday until they get this sorted out. And Roger Goodell coming out and saying, well, I think the NFL really needs to stand for the anthem because the American people are speaking up, using the power of the purse and using their voices. And I'm hoping that they'll use their voices and go to the theaters on October 27th to support this movie, because this is a movie that upholds faith, freedom, and family.
Real quick, you mentioned Harvey Weinstein. I saw one statistic that suggested that Harvey Weinstein's been thanked more than God at in Academy Awards in recent
2015.
Years. Do you have a sense that there's not much of a place in Hollywood for God?
I came up with I was in development for a faith-based TV show about 2.5 years ago, and I went into a Hollywood an executive office at one of the big networks. I won't say which one, but the executive said to me, and she was in charge of programming. She said, "Look, I understand that there is a desire for this, but I don't understand the faith-based community. My faith is on a shelf." And so for that reason, this is a pass for us. So here's the thing. If you can put your faith on a shelf, then you have no faith, because faith without works is dead. And I'll tell you something. If you're operating in the real world without any acknowledgement of your faith, then you're a hypocrite. You show me a politician who doesn't make decisions based on his religion and his worldview, and I will show you a hypocrite.
Sam Sorbo, thank you. I think it's a good note to end on and a good message. Let's mention
it's
your
a
new book.
Harsh.
Yeah, no, I like it. People need a good message like that. New book out now, Teach From Love, a school year devotional for families. And the new movie, Let There Be Light, comes out October 27th in theaters nationwide. Thank you very much.
Thanks.